This is Dr. Yo. Welcome to Respecting the Future. Your host is Levin Chuck Wilson, better known as Chuck. He's committed his body of work to serving individuals, families, and communities. As a social worker, he's taken the oath to be a change agent. This is the episode in the series of Planning to Succeed. It's all about defining your strategic plan and how to move from one position to another, moving the needles and mountains in your life. So let's talk to Chuck.
Maybe you think that the message has changed. Then won't you lend me your ear, your ear? Maybe you think that the news is new and history can live again. Then you ought to hear this.
So, Chuck, we've decided that mothers deserve to have more than just one day. And we're going to continue this conversation. You know, with life comes challenges, and whether mom is the head of a single house or in a partnership, there will come challenges. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. And I agree. We're going to do more than just Mother's Day. This is going to be Mother's Month. So we're going to dedicate this podcast to a few weeks of just talking about mothers in various situations that surround mothers.
Okay. So let's talk about communication. And I'm sure you're going to reflect on your mom.
Oh, absolutely.
And how then is it important for mothers to communicate? Is it just to communicate to their children, to their partners, to anybody else? What's the importance of communication?
Well, communication is extremely important, in particular the nonverbals. You know, most communications people, like a good friend of mine, Dr. Saunders up in D.C., she often talks about that a large percentage of communication is nonverbal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true. And then, of course, there are other forms of communication. But to answer your question, communication is vital in the development of your children. I'm going to talk about my mom for a second and dealing with raising a son. And I can say something about raising, because my sister was there too, so I experienced that. But and raising a boy, I think is critical to, one, start out with truth and explaining why you have to tell the truth. If you say, don't touch the stove because it's hot, go dig down and say, what is hot? What is it going to do to you? What is a burn? What is that burn going to do to you? What is a scar? How long would this scar live? Because when you're shaping the minds of a boy or a girl, you need to start with being detailed and not just say stop, don't do, go, quit, that type of thing, but explain why. And I think what happens, it helps us develop our critical thinking skills when you communicate.
And that's important because even as young kids, it's amazing how their minds, they're like sponge. Trust me, they are listening. You may not think they are, but they truly are listening. And even with my daughter, a lot of times I'll hear her use these big words and I kind of turn around. It's like, wow. And she's like, yeah, mom, that's what you used to use when I grow up. So, of course, that's, you know, how I'm going to be speaking. And even if it's with music, you know, you're wondering, well, how does your child, how does she like, you know, like soul music as opposed to rap? And it's like, but mom, that's what I grew up on. So they are listening, and it's so important for the communication. No matter, you know, if they're young or whatever the case may be, they are listening.
You're absolutely, and they're listening to a lot of what's not being said.
The nonverbals.
Exactly. They're listening to that frown that's on your face.
Right.
They're listening to that attitude that you may present to your own boss or to your sister, to your relatives.
Right.
They're looking and listening, saying, listen, I saw my mother or I saw my father do this and got this type of reaction. So you have to be very cognizant of what you're saying, what you're teaching, what you're informing young people in your communication. You have to think what you are creating is the future.
Right.
It will be history, and you either can create a productive child or you can create a Frankenstein.
Oh, wow.
Which one you want?
We don't want Frankenstein.
You don't want Frankenstein.
So no, because society will lock them up.
Well, not only lock them up, you know.
Ostracize them, too.
And a whole lot of other things.
Right.
But there's so much more to learn, which means that when communication means that we have to be exposed. We have to be diverse. We have to understand and read and share and not just be confined to our own walls, our four walls in our little house on our block and our zip code. I think communication, we live in a world now, and technology has shrunk the world very quickly.
Right.
And no matter what your economical status is, get outside of who you are and see yourself in the future. And that's a communication piece that our kids need, in particular people of color. You know, see yourself beyond your situation. And not just people of color, everyone.
Right.
See yourself beyond where you are. I remember, you know, we moved a lot growing up. And I would, even though we would move a lot, it was because my mom was underemployed. Educated, but underemployed. Mm-hmm. Times were a little different. Times were tough. But what I recognized with my mom was she always provided us with the best place that she could at the time. You follow me? And so she would say, no matter where we live, make sure you make friends at your school. Make sure you respect your teacher. Establish a relationship with your principal, your vice principal, your teachers, the coaches. This is what she would teach me every day. And then she would question us.
Ask you about it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She would question us. So that means she talked to us.
Right.
After she's worked all day. Now, well, first of all, you had to make sure that, you know, the yard was clean and your room was clean and all that stuff. But she wanted to know in detail.
Mm-hmm.
And you couldn't make it up, because if you make it up, it's going to force her to ask a different question. Right. So she was teaching us to think critically. She was teaching us to develop relationships. She was teaching us to analyze. So communication is, again, your question is communication. Is communication vital? Is it important? Absolutely.
And it's hard, though, even as a single mom or even with, you know, a mom and a dad, to be plugged in continuously. Because as you know, of these days, you know, we're rushing to work. We're rushing back home. It's a very, very fast pace. Some of us work 50 hours a week. Some of us have to work on the weekends. So what we have to realize, though, is how we communicate to our kids. And you were talking about your mom asking and reinforcing and making sure. So when we're driving our kids to school, like I did, or we're sitting around the table, or we're just having a conversation, instead of sitting them there to have the TV watch them or them watch the TV, ask them, what lessons did you have today? Tell me about it. You know, how did that lesson last week that you learned, you know, reinforce? And that's the type of communication to make sure that they're engaged or that they're learning. And that also you're interested. I noticed when there were a bunch of friends, we used to take our kids to the plays, like Phantom of the Opera. They saw Annie. They saw The Lion King. They saw so many different plays. And it's not to say that we had a lot of money, but we had to be very strategic about, do we want to expose our kids to the arts? Because, you know, the arts, that allows them, even when they're in school, to learn more or to have other things to communicate about. Now, I'm not saying that everybody has to do that, but being a parent, being a mom, it is so important for us to be connected, engaged. And even if it's quality time is so much better than quantity time. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And just kind of big piggyback off what you're saying. My mom definitely did not have the resources, but she was clever. She was strategic.
Right.
So even though she could not afford for us to go to see Phantom of the Opera or Saigon and some of these other plays, what she did was she made sure that we went to a school that had performing arts. Or the church that we went to on 1500 English Street, that was the best choir in town. So I ended up singing professionally as a kid, recording as a kid, being on TV, and not having a whole lot of resources. But I was exposed to James Cleveland and Andre Crouch and Earth, Wind, and Fire, Little Richard, these types of people. at a very young age because my mom had the wherewithal to say, you know what, I can't afford to send them to these places, but I can afford to be engaged in these types of places.
Right. So it's that engagement of knowing, as a mom, what is your role? What is your responsibility? What are you willing to give up? And I know we're talking a lot about communications, the nonverbals and everything. A friend of mine, he told me that, you know, if you tell your child, okay, well, you can't have this, but because you're so tired, you give in. That's the wrong communication right there, because the child will realize, well, mom's a pushover. You know, she doesn't mean this. But if you're very strategic about saying, no, you cannot have that, you yourself are also putting yourself in a situation where you may not be able to go out, you may not be able to do something because of that restriction that you put your child on. And oftentimes, you just want to give in. You really just want to give in because you're tired after a long day, you come in, but you have to still be engaged. And this is a great opportunity for us to switch to image as being a mom, you know, that self-image. You put that on the sideline. And sometimes for years, you forget about you are also a person.
Mm-hmm. Well, some people put it on the sidelines.
Okay.
And not everybody. You know, some people more concerned about their hair, their nails, and their handbags, mm-hmm. and their shoes. And, you know, little Johnny and little Susie, or little Poo-Poo, or whoever,
right.
you know, it's an afterthought. They wanted to make sure, hey, I look like this. I have the MAC lipstick on because they're trying to get a date, trying to have a partner or someone to hang out with, a
right.
new boo, or rekindle with an old boo. And not all mothers are thinking like that, but they're, thank God there are still a lot of mothers and most mothers that say, you know what, I'm concerned about whether I'm building and developing and growing a productive citizen, or am I developing a Frankenstein? Am I creating a terror that will impact the community or somebody else's family? So I think that it's easy for me to say something because I don't have kids, mm-hmm. but if I had a son, if I had a daughter, I would be thinking, is this person going to be a productive citizen, or
right.
is this person going to be a criminal or a Frankenstein?
Right.
So it wouldn't matter to me. I shouldn't say it wouldn't matter to me. I would be thinking every day when I see this child, and I know this is what mothers who are thinking, right-minded mothers are thinking. They're saying, you know what? I'm going to sacrifice for my child. I'm going to communicate with my child. I'm gonna take care of myself. Self-care is very important, but I'm not gonna put hair before food. I'm not gonna put nails before school. If you're underemployed, if you're unemployed and your school is in public school system, go volunteer.
Right.
So your child can see that you're involved and engaged with their education. If you can't put them in a ballet, if you can't send them to piano lessons, well, go to your local church. Join some organization where these services are provided and stay there with them. Don't be on the phone texting to your boo. Pay your child some. Those are nonverbals that they're picking up on, and these are things that are being replicated. So now, you know, we have a whole generation of people that can't look you in the eye, won't communicate with you, and communication is texting. You can be 2 feet away from them, and
right.
they'd rather text you a question or response or a statement versus touching you and saying, "Hey, Chuck, how are you today?"
Right,
you know?
Right. Well, you touched on sacrifice. Now we can always look in the equilibrium of some parents, like myself, helicopter mom, as I'm considered. And those who really, as you said, are totally disengaged. And I know we're going to pick up that conversation when we talk about life after, you know, your child leaves or in the empty nest situation. But when you look at the image of the individual, the mom, it is a big sacrifice. As I said, you know, you have two jobs, you come home, you're tired. But you still have to reflect this, as you call little Pookie, you know,
is, David or John.
Or John, yeah. You know, pulling at you and wanting you to read is hard. And you're tired, you're exhausted. You just have to dig within yourself. And there are a lot of moms who really sacrifice. And I'll give you a great example. You know, being the booster president, my daughter was in the band, and my life on a Friday night was going to the football games and watching her and being there and being engaged and being committed. You know, my life was that was it. When she went off to college, I remember leaving work one Friday, parking lot's empty, my car's there, and I'm like, what am I doing? You know, I'm going home to an empty house. But it was like, wow, I made that sacrifice. Where is she? UF. You know, were her grades awesome? Absolutely. So the sacrifice you make is for that future generation, is for your child to know when they get to that position, do I do right or do I do wrong? What is right? What is wrong? Do I make the right choice?
Mm-hmm. And you may not have the answer either. You may not have the right answer.
Right.
But you have to try something.
Exactly.
Let me add something else, too. We're talking about, this conversation is more about the a lot of responsibilities on that mom. Mm-hmm. But let me talk to the men for a second, because these babies didn't come through osmosis. These babies just didn't appear.
Right.
You know, they had some help.
Amen. Right?
And so I want to make sure that, you know, women, do not engage and be involved with a man that there's not a whiffum in it for you. I have this theory called whiffum, W-I-F-M, what's in it for me.
Right.
Well, what's in it for you? Men, we need to make sure that we are looking after our women, our mothers. We have to make sure that we are respecting them. We have to make sure that we are taking care of them. Make sure that we are related and responsible to the environmental concerns, the situations, the circumstances that are going on in our females' lives.
Right.
If you are a deacon or somebody in the church and you're helping women, well, don't help with an agenda. Don't help mothers who have a son or children and you know they're going through, and you say, you know what, I'm going to help them because I got a hidden agenda to help myself.
Right.
Don't do that, because now you're devaluing the relationship. You're messing up the situation.
And right? Oftentimes a woman will feel like she's between a rock and a hard place. And some take the easy road, and others are like, no. That's not for me. I'm going to sacrifice doing without because I want to make sure my child, I'm setting an example for my child to know that that's bad behavior.
Absolutely, absolutely. Don't give in to the pressure.
No.
Don't let anxiety cause you to do things you're going to not be proud of later on in life.
Right.
Don't give in to that guy or those men because they say, well, you know, I'll take care of your phone bill, I'll pay your rent. You know, Babyface had a song out years ago, he'll pay your rent and all these types of things.
Right.
But don't subscribe to that just for things. Don't subscribe to a man or have been in a relationship with a man for image purposes. Don't do it. Because what it does, it sends the wrong message to the child.
Mm-hmm.
It sends the wrong image to the child. And so that male or female grows up thinking, okay, well, if I wear this, it's going to get me this response. The male thinks, if I do this, it's going to get this response. And love is nowhere in it. Care is nowhere in it. Warmth is nowhere in it. Empathy is nowhere in it. Being genuine, nowhere in the picture. We've changed the paradigm of what family really means. And so men, I think it's our responsibility to not just look at Mother's Day as a day to honor our mothers, but let's look at Mother's Day as a day to reset how we treat our mothers.
I like that, the reset.
The reset.
Hit the reset button.
I claim it today, right? Okay. Right here on the Respecting Your Future podcast, this is the time to reset how we treat mothers, all mothers. It doesn't matter if you're black, white, Asian, Hispanic. It doesn't matter. Muslim. It doesn't matter. Mothers are mothers. And men, if we treat women as precious, the most precious thing on earth more than silver, more than gold,
commodity.
And diamonds.
Awesome. Right? Yeah.
If we treat them better than those things, they'd be right. like to wear on our arm.
Right.
Things that we like to wear on our feet, the clothes that we wear on the back. If we can treat people, mothers, better than our stuff, I think we even change the economy.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. And then that's how we really move the needle, but it has to be demonstrated. It has to be communicated. The image of the family has to change. And I think one of the ways to, do that is for men to say, you know what, let's reset how we treat mothers.
And on that note, I want to wrap it up because I know we're going to continue this conversation. The dynamics of the family, the nucleus, has changed. It's no more Leave It to Beaver, the Cleavers, you know, where they had the mother.
Can you
the
talk
father.
About some shows, some current shows? Listen, all this don't know who the Beavers and Cleavers
are. Leave It to Beavers.
What about the Huxtables?
Okay.
You know.
Okay.
Somebody else.
Well, remember from Canada, you know,
we're not in Canada.
Okay, okay. So you have the mother, the father, and
what about the have-nots? All the shows that come on network.
Listen, I don't watch a lot of TV.
Dr. Yo, she's like disconnected in some of those
totally
areas.
Totally disconnected.
Yeah, yeah.
But my point is, no longer is it how it used to be. So we have to, just like you said, make it a new day, reset. The fact that mothers were very important, were connected, were no longer just that role of, you know, taking care of the kids, and it changed.
Yeah.
It changed.
My prediction is if we take care of mothers, it doesn't matter what's going on politically, the world changes.
All right. On that note, come on back because we're going to talk about the finances and also the history. So we hope that you will tune in so that you'll get more celebration of mothers. Glad you joined in on our conversation. For more Let's Talk to Chuck episodes, sign up and follow us on Podomatic, iTunes, and Player FM. You can also reach out to Chuck via email at leventu, that's L-E-V-E-N, the number 2, @me.com. We hope that this episode will help you to make the choice decisions that respects your future. Remember to tune in to our next conversation with Chuck. We want to say thank you to our engineer, Sam Walton. Until then, it's all about moving the needles and mountains in your life.
Maybe you think that the message has changed. Then won't you lend me your ear, your ear? Maybe you think that the news is new and history can live again. Then you ought to hear this.